We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 11 and verses 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding, but have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I was working on this text 3.5 weeks ago for a Wednesday evening Bible study, when suddenly we had a call from Salisbury Hospital. Naomi's dad was failing fast, and we had to get there as quickly as possible. He was in the last hours of his life. And I never got to that Wednesday evening prayer meeting to preach this text. And it was God's plan that that was the case. Yet the text stayed with me over these past 3.5 weeks, and it's kind of grown as we've gone on. And instead of being just a short devotional on a Wednesday evening, it's become a sort of mini-series in my heart. I think there's probably 3 sermons, possibly more, that we're going to take from this text. And it's just such a wonderful passage of Scripture. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, who are carrying burdens that are crushing you, and I will give you rest." I can't imagine that there were many people here this morning who were disappointed when they heard that text. There have been plenty of chapters in our Isaiah series that we've been taking on a Sunday evening where I've done the reading. I've read from Isaiah 20-something or 30-something, and I've looked up at the congregation afterwards, and your faces have said everything. What on earth was that about? Well, I hope... with the help of the Holy Spirit, we dug deep enough into the text to find the very Jesus in Isaiah that we meet here in Matthew. And we found the very same words, really, that Jesus is saying in Matthew back in Isaiah. Here is a God who lifts burdens. Here is a God who gives rest, who doesn't want you to struggle on your own, who calls you to come to him. But in Matthew 11, it's accessible, isn't it? Isn't it? This is familiar ground that we're walking on this morning. But even with all that familiarity, the words are still surprising and they're stunning. Think about it. Here is the most important person ever. The one who has come from the Father. The only one who knows the Father. The only one who can bring you to the Father and the Father to you. And look at him. The most important person in history is calling the weary and the burden and the crushed to come to him and be his followers. If we were planning this, if we wanted followers, we would want people who were slightly less high maintenance, wouldn't we? We don't want people's problems. We want their gifts. We want their strength. American Express, they have their top card called the black card. And this is reserved for the elite, for the most wealthy. You don't apply for an American Express black card. They invite you to come and have one of these things. You need to spend, I think, $250,000 or something a year to qualify for this. They don't invite the impoverished and the starving and the barely coping to come and join their club. The SAS, they don't say, "Come to us if you're tired and you're struggling and you're weak and you're needy, they say, come to us if you look like Rambo. And you're super competent and you're on top of your game and you're a person who is in control and you're driven and you need nothing, then come, serve alongside us. And yet the King of Kings, the Son of God, he calls the most needy to come to him. We'll come back to that in a moment. But let's look firstly at how Jesus is speaking. He's speaking to us in words of comfort and encouragement. He's speaking with compassion and care. If we go back to the beginning of that passage, it says, at that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. And if we look at the context and work out what that time was, we might expect to find Jesus angry. We might expect to find him bitter and disappointed, because verses 20 to 24 have concerned the cities of Jesus' home area, where he'd done most of his mighty works, where he'd shown the glory of God in his compassion and his care and his love for people. And yet they hadn't responded in faith and repentance. They'd rejected the very one who had come to bring God to them. And there are stern words from Jesus for Chorazin and Bethsaida and for Capernaum. And yet Jesus still thanks his Father and rests in his gracious will, the way that he works with grace to hide these things from the wise and the understanding and to reveal them to little children. That requires some explanation. Jesus is saying that the great gift of the gospel does not come to the wise and the understanding on the basis of their wisdom and their understanding. This isn't something that only the elite can access. He's saying you haven't got to be Albert Einstein with an IQ of around 200 if you're going to understand the gospel. God hasn't made this as difficult as possible. In fact, God has made it as simple as possible so that little children could understand that they could come to Jesus and they could trust him and know that he loved them and he would never, ever fail them. And if the wise, the Einsteins, and the mighty, the Rambos, and the wealthy, and the powerful, they want to come to Jesus, they have to come on the same terms as the little children. Not in their intelligence, not in their wisdom, their strength, their riches, but in their need. Just as the children come. And they will find rest. And it's at this point that Jesus calls all who are in need to come to him and find rest. Just look at the kindness of Jesus. He's come to bless people. He's come to lift burdens and give rest to the weary. He's come to give hope to the hopeless, peace to the troubled, joy to the sad. He's speaking and he's acting so caringly and so compassionately. He sees the troubled people of this world carrying what they're carrying. And he cares about what they're going through. And he does something about it. He calls people to himself. And remember that is a little foretaste of the text for next year. Remember, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. And you look at those words that I've read from my text. They tell you Jesus was compassionate in Matthew 11, don't they? Don't they? You're not sure. You're going to have to wake up because I'm going to ask you more questions this morning. Jesus of Matthew 11, who says, come to me, is compassionate. He's still compassionate today. And he will be for the rest of time. Won't you come to him? This isn't Jesus on a good day. This is Jesus on every day. So often our views of Jesus are so wrong. We think he wants to take from us. He wants to rob us of our joy and enslave us. He wants to restrict our lives. That was Satan's lie at the beginning to Eve. God is an unkind God. God wants to keep things from you. Jesus comes and he shows us God. He lifts burdens. He gives rest. He doesn't take joy. He gives joy to the full. He gives peace that surpasses understanding. Life which is eternal. He gives us God as our Heavenly Father. Secondly, who is he calling? Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden. Well, we can say this invitation is big, can't we? It is to anyone. It isn't restricted by race. Jesus doesn't say, come all you Jews, or just all you Gentiles, or just all you Americans, or you Somalis, or you British. He says, anyone. This is a huge invitation. It isn't restricted by race or age or gender or social position. All you reaches out to everyone everywhere. But there is a qualifier. It's those who labour and are heavy laden. It's those who are struggling and crushed by what you're carrying. It's those who are weighed down by the pressures of life and living. Jesus calls everyone who is needy. Now, sadly, whilst we are all needy, there are many of us who don't think we need Jesus. And we will never respond to his invitation whilst we think we don't need him. There are people who think they're fine. They can manage quite happily without Jesus. There's a powerful example of this in Luke chapter 7, where we meet a man called Simon. He's a Pharisee. He's not weary. He's on top of everything. And he invites Jesus back to his house for tea. Not because he wants to trust Jesus, but because he's intrigued by Jesus. Jesus is a puzzle that he wants to solve. He's an enigma that he needs to crack. Not a person that he wants to trust. And as Simon invites him in, a lady has slipped in, probably through the back door. And she's from the same city as Simon. And we read in Luke's gospel, a woman of that city who was a sinner. We're not told anything else about her background, but this great shadow of sin hangs over her. Every time people look at Simon, they think Pharisee, and that's a good thing in the first century. And every time they look at this woman, they think sinner. She's struggling through life with that stigma, with that shame hanging over her. And she's the one who comes to Jesus. She's the one who washes Jesus' feet with her tears. She's the one who dries Jesus' feet with her hair and who anoints Jesus with precious oil. And Simon looks at the scene and he says, I've solved the puzzle. This man cannot be from God. Because if he were from God, he would know what sort of woman is touching him. That a sinner has come to him. Well, I'm afraid Simon's theology was not as good as he thought it was. In fact, it could scarcely have been worse. Surely this was one of the signs that Jesus was from God. That a needy, broken sinner had come to him because he'd called her to him in her need. And she'd responded. Simon couldn't see that. He was respectable. He was religious. He was super competent, in need of nothing, Mr. Pharisee. He wouldn't say he was weak. He didn't think he was weary. I bet he was underneath, don't you? Oh, it's so weary putting up that front and carrying it through life. But he was never going to recognize it. But the woman did. She came to Jesus in her crushed state, to a Saviour who gives rest. And having been loved so much and forgiven so much, she was able to love so much in return. You see it with the Pharisee and the tax collector. You've got one person who is not weary and one person who is on their knees. There's the Pharisee. In Jesus' story, he's just so full of himself. He even prays to himself, Luke says. I always loved that part of the story, and he prayed thus to himself. said thus to himself, I thank you, God, I'm not like other people. I thank you, God, that I fast and I give and I do all of my religious deeds. And I'm not like other people, like this tax collector. And there's the tax collector bowed down under the reality of his failure, who cries, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Who finds rest? The Pharisee who's looked in the mirror and said, aren't you beautiful? Or the tax collector who's looked at Jesus and said, save me. He finds rest. So who's Jesus calling? Jesus is calling all of you. But he's calling you in your need, in the struggles of your life, and in your weakness to come to him. Can you see it? Thirdly, what are these burdens that crush us? Jesus isn't specific here. He just sees people struggling under a weight that they can't carry. But I think he would trace this back to one great problem that he's come to remedy. I wonder what you'd say that problem was. Anyone want to have a go? Sin. That's an interesting answer. But it's not the problem. It's the cause of the problem. Jesus is going to remedy the problem in the earlier verses. What is it that Jesus comes to do? He comes to show you the Father. The problem is we're cut off from God, from the Father. Sin has caused that problem. But the big problem, the weariness of this world, comes because we're trying to live without God. Paul describes it, living without God and without hope in this world. And Jesus has come to show the Father, to bring God to us and us to God. And we could say that that struggle of trying to live without God comes out in all sorts of different ways. It can be seen in the cares and the trials of your life. There are things that weigh heavily on us, and we're trying to carry them by ourselves. There's the concerns of our families, concerns over relationships, health scares that we have. And if you notice, as we get older, they become more frequent. There are concerns about the future. We have financial worries. How can we provide for all of our needs? Some of us stop listening to the news because it brings us so many concerns. We're scared about living in a world that's so broken and uncertain at times. What about the deepest longings of our heart or our soul, as Jesus calls it here? We have longings, legitimate longings for love and for friendship and for fellowship and for security. Some people are crushed by the weight of loneliness. Some by the pain of abandonment and betrayal. For others, it's the question of what does it all mean? As we're going through life and maybe we're successful and we tick off our bucket list and yet still we're not satisfied. Where are we going? What is life about? Is it just about survival? Is all that's ahead of me a bed in a care home for a few years? And then the end. What is this thing called life all about? And I feel so small, I feel so on my own, I don't understand. And the words of Jesus break in. And he says, come to me. You who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. You don't have to be living on your own. You weren't created to carry this weight by yourself. I'm with you, and I understand. Let me bring you to my Father, who can become your Father. Remember how in the Sermon on the Mount, the end of that great sermon, Jesus uses the doctrine of adoption to get across to us the fact we haven't got to worry. When you were a child, if Dad was there and Dad was on form and Dad had his wallet ready, you know, things were okay. And Jesus says, you people who are worrying, don't you understand my Father's here? He knows what you need. He cares for you. He loves you. Why are you trying to live without him? You can say, look at the flowers of the field. Even Solomon in all of their glory weren't arrayed like these were, we'd say today the Kardashians. But they're nothing compared with the beauty of God's creation, which is here just for a season, sometimes just a day. And aren't you of more value than creation? You're a child, a son, a daughter, made in the image of God. He loves his people. You're to know him and enjoy him and be with him and trust him forever. And those cries of your soul for love, they're met with his love. He won't fail you. That longing we have for friendship is supremely met by Jesus. He's the one who will never walk out on us. He'll be there when nobody else can be there. In that hospital 3.5 weeks ago, when I was sat with my father-in-law, we were there, but we couldn't be for the next part of the journey. Jesus was. I know he was. He told us, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we've got nothing to fear. He will be with us. There's a friend. The security that we long for, it's there in the gospel. Your lives are hidden with Christ in God. The joy that we long for, the life that we long for, that's not survival, but eternal life. It is given as we come to Jesus. And we cast our cares on him because he cares for us. Jesus is saying you haven't got to struggle on your own. You haven't got to live without God in this world, which is what causes you the biggest burden of all. But there's another burden, isn't there? How can we possibly come to God when we know we're not good enough? And that would have been on Jesus' mind. He was calling out to people who had been taught, you have to try harder if God is going to love you or accept you. He talks elsewhere about the yoke, the heavy burden that the religious teachers of his day were putting onto people. And they hammered people with the law. They rightly said, these are the requirements God desires, wants, insists on, perfection. Therefore, you've just got to try harder. You've got to be more religious. You've got to give more. You've got to work harder. We saw that in our series on the Reformation, poor Martin Luther, when he was still a monk, throwing himself into more monkery, as he called it. Doing more pilgrimages, longer pilgrimages, giving more, beating himself up more, whipping himself more as he tried to make himself good enough for God. Religion so often puts the heaviest burdens of all onto people. But the law doesn't show you how to do it. It shows you how broken you are, how crushed you are. It's no use telling a person who has collapsed to run faster. They can't do it. What does Jesus say to them? He says, come to me. You can't provide the righteousness that God requires. That's why I came. I came to live for you. To meet those standards for you. Let me take that weight off your shoulders. Come to me and trust me. That is good news for the weary. And then what about that weight, that crushing load of our guilt and sin? What if we're like the woman in Luke 11 and sinner is stamped onto our lives? Have we got to drag that through life and into death and eternity? No, says Jesus, come to me. I can give you rest for your souls. Isaiah says he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He carried our sins into the judgment of God at the cross and paid for them with his life. He can remove them from you as far as the east is from the west and bury them in the depths of the sea. There's a lovely part of the Old Testament which talks about the day of judgment, and it says, in that day, they will look for the sins of God's people and they won't be able to find them. You know, I walk through life and I can remember them, mine as well as yours, some of them. But to think that from God's memory, because of the cross of Jesus Christ, they're gone. That burden has been lifted, not just temporarily, but forever. And instead of guilty sinner stamped over my life, it can be, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good news for failures like me and you? Come to Jesus. Come to the burden lifter, the rest giver. But you're thinking, would he do that for me? Well, look at the words. He said it. All you who labour, and I will give you rest. We sang about the dying thief. Was he weary? Do you think so? Like he's one of those weary people ever to have been on this planet. Was he heavy laden? Oh, yes. Was he guilty? He knew it. So did everyone else. Was he scared? Had he failed? Was sinner stamped all over his life? Absolutely. But he came to Jesus. Just turned to Jesus. And he found Jesus true to his word. He found rest. Today you'll be with me in paradise. You don't have to wait to the end of your life. You don't know when that will be. Jesus calls you today. He knows you. Will you come in faith to Christ and find that wonderful gospel rest? Or do you want another week of pulling that Scania truck of guilt behind you? Do you want another week of staggering under burdens that you can't carry? Do you want another week in the emptiness and the loneliness of life without God? You don't. Come to Jesus, who gives rest. Amen.